Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from the book of 1 Kings, 1 Kings chapter 17, if you'd like to join along in your own Bible or a pew Bible, 1 Kings 17, beginning with verse 17. And before we read God's word, let's once again go to him in prayer. Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, be present with us now and dwell within our hearts. With your light and with your spirit, guide our hearts, guide our thoughts, guide our actions, so that your word may be clearly heard. And Father, may not only may your word be clearly heard, may we live it so that your light is reflected from our very lives. Through Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. 1 Kings 17, beginning with verse 17. After this, the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became ill, and his illness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. And she said to Elijah, "What have you against me, O man of God? You have come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to cause the death of my son." And he said to her, "Give me your son." And he took him from her arms and carried him up into the upper chamber where he lodged and laid him down on his own bed. And he cried to the Lord, "O Lord my God, have you brought calamity even upon the widow with whom I sojourn by killing her son?" Then he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried to the Lord, "O Lord my God, let this child's life come into him again." And the Lord listened to the voice of Elijah, and the life of the child came into him again. And he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper chamber into the house and delivered him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son lives." And the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord is in your mouth is truth." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our New Testament reading comes from the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 9, beginning with verse 32. For the past 2 weeks, our study of the book of Acts has focused on Saul and the dramatic conversion of Saul. That God transformed this persecutor of the church, this oppressor of the church, this enemy number one of the church, transformed him into a disciple. Transformed him into a follower of Jesus. Saul was no longer an enemy, but now a brother, part of the community of faith. Now, last week we looked at the early ministry of Saul, how Saul preached the gospel, how Saul proclaimed the very name that he sought to stamp out, the name of Jesus, and how Saul suffered for it. Well, the book of Acts now, and starting in our passage today, it hits the pause button on Saul. Hits the pause button on the ministry of Saul. We'll return to Saul when we get to chapter 13. But now the book of Acts returns to Peter, focuses on Peter. Peter the apostle. Peter the Jesus-appointed leader of the early church. You remember Peter. Peter was one of the first disciples called by Jesus. Peter was with Jesus from the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. And Peter was with Jesus to the end. Peter watched Jesus ascend into heaven. Well, today we return to the ministry of Peter. Acts chapter 9, beginning with verse 32. "Now as Peter went here and there among them all, he came down also to the saints who lived at Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, bedridden for 8 years, who was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, 'Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Rise and make your bed.' And immediately he rose. And all the residents of Lydda and Sharon saw him, and they turned to the Lord. Now there was in Joppa a disciple named Tabitha, which translated means Dorcas. She was full of good works and acts of charity. In those days, she became ill and died, and when they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, hearing that Peter was there, sent two men to him, urging him, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter rose and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the upper room. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other garments that Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all outside and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and raised her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And he stayed in Joppa for many days with one Simon, a tanner. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, our passage tells us that Peter was going here and there. Peter was traveling. He was traveling around Jerusalem. He was traveling in the regions of Judea and Samaria. And Peter was traveling, and he was doing the work of an apostle. He was traveling, and he was preaching. He was traveling, and he was teaching. He was traveling, and he was praying. He was traveling, and he was encouraging other followers of Jesus, or those who belong to the way. Now, that's what Christians were first called. We saw this a few weeks ago. Christians were first called those who belong to the way. Why called that? Because Jesus Christ is the way and the truth and the life. Jesus Christ is the way to forgiveness. He's the way to forgiveness of your sin. Jesus Christ is the way to life. He's the way to eternal life, life after death life, forever life. Jesus is the way to God. He's the way to know God. Jesus is the way to know God's heart of love for you, which is a sacrificial love shown in person and shown on the cross. When you place your faith in Jesus, when you believe in Jesus, you receive forgiveness and you receive life, and you belong to Him. Therefore, you belong to the way. Those who belong to the way. Well, Peter was going here and there among those who belong to the way. He was going here and there among the new churches. And he went down to the coast. He went down to the coast to a town called Lydda. Now, our passage says that Peter came down also to the saints who lived at Lydda. He came down also to the saints who lived at Lydda. This is the second time in the book of Acts that followers of Jesus are referred to as saints. Those who belong to the way and saints. Now, saint is a Greek word that literally means holy one. A saint is a holy one. In other words, a saint is one who is set apart. That's what holy means, something set apart, distinct, different. Now, in the Bible, let's be clear, in the Bible, saint is never used to refer to super Christians, all right? That's what saint is never used to refer to super Christians. And by super Christians, I mean those that we think or believe might be closer to God, or more faithful to God, or more obedient to God, or holier in life than we would be. So our passage this morning doesn't say that Saint Peter went down to visit the lowly Christians in Lydda. It doesn't say that. It says Peter went to visit the saints. Peter went to visit the saints, meaning this: all Christians are saints. If you're a follower of Jesus, then you are a saint, because that's your status through Jesus Christ. You're a saint. That's your status given to you by Jesus Christ because of what He's done for you, not because of what you've done. You're not a saint because of anything that you do. You're a saint because of what Jesus Christ has done for you. In Jesus Christ, you are set apart. Because of his resurrection, because of his death and resurrection for you, you are made holy and you are set apart. Belonging to Jesus, you are distinct. You're different. Because Jesus has brought you out of darkness. He has brought you out of the darkness of sin. He has brought you out of the darkness of death, and he has placed you into the light and into life, his light. And his life. And in him you are marked by baptism. That shows that you're set apart, baptism. And you are to show in your life that you are set apart by Jesus. You're to show in your life that you are distinct because of Jesus. You're to shine that light. You're to reflect that life wherever you are and whatever you're doing. So if you belong to the way, if you belong to Jesus, then you're different. You're a saint. You're a saint. So in Lydda, among the saints, Peter went down to the saints, he found a man named Aeneas. A man named Aeneas. We're told that Aeneas had been bedridden for 8 years, paralyzed. For 8 years, unable to stand, unable to walk, unable to run, unable to feel. For 8 years, until Peter speaks these words in verse 34. Peter says, Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Rise and make your bed. Peter says, rise. Jesus Christ heals you. Rise. Imagine being Aeneas and hearing these words. Imagine being Aeneas and hearing these words and then beginning to feel again. For 8 years, you have not been able to feel. And you begin to feel again. You begin to feel your legs again. You begin to feel your feet again. You begin to feel strength return to them again. And you find that you can do exactly what Peter tells you to do, that you can rise. That you can rise up. And not only can you stand up, you can walk after 8 years. You can walk through Jesus Christ. Now, our passage is clear that the healing Aeneas receives, the healing he receives is from Jesus. Peter clearly points to Jesus. Peter doesn't say, hey, Aeneas, I tell you, I say to you, rise up and walk. Peter doesn't simply say, hey, rise up. But he says, Jesus Christ heals you. Rise. And immediately Aeneas rises. And everybody saw him. And it was a small community. Lydda was a small community. Everybody knew him. Everybody knew Aeneas. Everybody knew he'd been bedridden for 8 years. Everybody knew he'd been paralyzed for 8 years. So of course they see him and they're going to want to know, what in the world has happened to you? How are you able to walk again? How are you able to get up again? And Aeneas can reply, Jesus Christ, that's how. Jesus Christ healed me. Aeneas was a walking witness to Jesus Christ. Aeneas shone the light of Jesus with every single step that he took. Every step that he took, he was shining the light and life of Jesus Christ. Now, we're told that while Peter was there, while Peter was in Lydda, while Peter was with the saints in Lydda, two men came seeking him out, and these two men were from Joppa. Joppa was a town about 12 miles away, and these two men were from the church in Joppa, and they asked Peter to come with them quickly. Peter, come quickly. Come without delay. And here's the reason why: Tabitha had died. Tabitha died. Tabitha is an Aramaic name. In Greek, we're told, her name is Dorcas in Greek. And both Tabitha and Dorcas mean gazelle. That's what they mean, gazelle. But in the Old Testament, in the Song of Songs, gazelle is a metaphor for beloved, for the beloved one. So Tabitha was a beloved disciple. She was a follower of Jesus. She was a saint who let the light of Christ shine through her, and it shone clearly through her works. Listen to verse 36 again. This is verse 36. She was full of good works and acts of charity. This beloved woman of God was full of acts of love. She was full of deeds of love, especially for those who were in need. Well, Tabitha became ill, and Tabitha died. And hearing that Peter was near, hearing that the apostle Peter was near, they sent for him. They sent for Peter hoping. They sent for Peter praying that he might be able to do something, maybe, even in the face of death. So when Peter arrived, they took him to the upper room. They took him to the upper room where Tabitha's body lay. And when Peter arrived in the room, we're told that there were widows present. Widows who were watching over Tabitha, widows who were weeping over Tabitha, widows who were mourning over Tabitha. And as they wept and as they mourned, they showed Peter the clothing she had made for them. Gifts of love that she made for those in need. Gifts of compassion, providing for those in need. Well, then we're told that Peter cleared the room. He asked everybody to leave. We're not told why at all. Perhaps he wasn't sure what God was going to do here. Maybe he didn't know. Perhaps he did not want to give the impression that there was going to be some sort of show going on. So he asked everybody to leave. And when they all left, this is what Peter did. When they all left, Peter knelt down and Peter prayed. He knelt down and he prayed. Peter prayed to the Father. He prayed to the author and giver of life. He prayed to the one who sent his Son, his only begotten Son. He prayed to the one who conquered death through his Son. Peter prayed. Just like Elijah prayed in our Old Testament reading. In 1 Kings, Elijah was with a widow. The prophet Elijah was with a widow whose son became ill, and the illness had led to death. The boy died. Well, Elijah took the boy's body to the upper room, and when Elijah took the boy's body to the upper room, what did he do? He prayed. He cried out to the Lord. This is from verse 21 in our Old Testament lesson. Listen to that verse again. Elijah prayed, "O Lord my God, let this child's life come into him again." And God heard Elijah's prayer. And God answered. The boy came back to life. The boy was restored to life, living and breathing and laughing and running. Can you imagine the joy that that mother felt? Well, just like the prophet Elijah, Peter prayed. Peter prayed, and then verse 40 says this, and turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." Tabitha, arise. He speaks the same words to the body as he did to Aeneas. Rise. Rise. And listen again to the end of verse 40. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Alive. This beloved daughter of the Father was no longer dead, but once again living and breathing and moving and thinking. And then verse 41 tells us this. This is verse 41 again. And he gave her his hand and raised her up. Then calling all the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And can you imagine the joy in that place, in that house? Can you imagine the wonder and the amazement in that room? The impossible became possible. At that moment, tears of sorrow turned into tears of joy, and mourning turned into dancing, and weeping into singing, an orchestra of praise to the Lord. And just like Aeneas, Tabitha was a walking, breathing witness to Jesus Christ. And everybody knew. Joppa was another small town. Everybody knew that Tabitha was dead. But now they see her alive again. And Tabitha could tell them how. Tabitha could tell them why. Tabitha could tell them about her beloved Jesus. So two miracles. Two mighty acts of God in our passage. Work through Peter. Work through the ministry of Peter. Now, both of these miracles, both of these miracles are very similar to miracles of Jesus. One of Jesus' first miracles was healing a paralytic. He healed a man who was bedridden for many years, a man whose friends lowered him through the roof of a house to be near Jesus. And Jesus not only forgave that man's sins, but he told him to rise up and to walk. Jesus also raised the dead. He raised his friend Lazarus from the dead, but he also raised a little girl from the dead. And when Jesus raised this little girl from the dead, he spoke these words to her in Aramaic. You can read this in Mark chapter 7. Jesus said, Talitha kum, which means little girl, rise up. Talitha, little girl, kum, rise up. Now, if Peter spoke to Tabitha's body in Aramaic, he would have said, Tabitha kum. Just one letter difference. Peter is walking in the footsteps of the Lord. And these miracles through Peter show that Jesus Christ is still at work, that Jesus Christ is present through his Holy Spirit working through Peter, because Jesus is present. He's present with his people. He's present with his saints, ministering and healing and raising. Now, as amazing as these two miracles are, as amazing as the healing of Aeneas and the raising of Tabitha are, in some sense, the effects of the two miracles are even greater. The effects are even greater. God used them and Aeneas and Tabitha as witnesses. He used his work in their life. He used their healing and their raising to point to his son. And because of them, because of their walking, breathing, living witness, we're told that many people turn to the Lord. Many people turn to the Lord. Many people came to faith in Jesus. Because Aeneas was physically healed, many were spiritually healed. Because he was physically healed, many were spiritually healed. They were not physically paralyzed, but they were spiritually paralyzed. They were paralyzed by sin. They were stuck in the mire of sin, unable to stand before God. But through Jesus, through faith in Jesus, they were able to rise. Pulled out of the mire of sin, they could walk. They could follow Jesus Christ. Because Tabitha was physically raised from the dead, many were spiritually raised from the dead. They were dead in sin, dead in their trespasses, but through Jesus, through faith in Jesus, they were able to rise. Rise up to new life and rise up to the hope and promise of eternal life. And Jesus is still at work today. We serve a Lord who is alive, a Lord who is alive and at work, alive and present. And Jesus Christ still heals, and Jesus Christ still raises. He is the one who caused you to walk, to follow him. And if you don't, he can cause you to walk, to follow him. He has given you new life in him. He can give you new life in him. And when he does, when he calls you to walk, to follow him, when he gives you new life in him, he calls you to be a witness, a walking, breathing, living witness, to point to him, through your life, to point to him through the new life that you have, to point to him through your words, through the breath that you are given, to point to him through your joy. The joy that you have in salvation, a joy that rises above circumstances and events, a joy that's different, a joy that stands out because it's distinct. And to point to Jesus through your hope, hope in eternity, hope in the life to come, hope that all things are going to be made right one day. One day everything is going to be made right. We live in a world that does not have very much hope. It's a world that doesn't have much hope at all. A world that lives for today because tomorrow might not come. But there is an eternity to come. There is a forever that's going to come. And that forever is either with the Lord or separated from the Lord. It's either with the Lord or separated from the Lord. Eternity with the Father will be better than anything you've ever experienced or anything that you can ever imagine. Eternity with the Father is going to be perfect, and it's going to be perfect and better than anything you can ever imagine forever. Without end. There'll be no tears. There'll be no pain. There'll be no aging. There will be no 24/7 news cycles. There will be no heartbreaking football losses. There will be no injustice. There will be no mourning. There'll be no death. No death. That gives us hope. Christ gives us hope. So show forth your hope, because others need to know. Others need to know what you know and what you have experienced. So let it shine. You're a saint. In Christ, you are a saint. You're called to be set apart and different. So let that light shine forth so that others may see. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Let us pray. Father, we bless you for the work that you've done in our lives. We thank you for shining light and life in us through Jesus Christ. And may we reflect that light wherever we are and whatever we do. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.